Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hi everyone, Jim here, and welcome to a brand new episode of Fantasy Five-A-Side. This week's guest is a YouTuber with over a million subscribers. He's the host of another Stakhanov show, the Spotify original podcast Jackmate's Happy Hour. It's, of course, Jackmate. Jack, how you doing?
Very well, thank you, mate. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to have you on the show. I'm intrigued to see what your picks are. How are you doing in general? How's YouTube?
Yeah, it's good. I'm actually getting content out for the first time ever because, as everyone will be aware, can't go to the pubs, can we?
No.
Just sat at home, just making content. I can't really complain, to be honest. I know it's a very dodgy time for a lot of people, and I do empathise with a lot of people, but my job is all right. I just get to make stuff from at home. So I'm very, very, very lucky in that regard, Jim.
Well, that's good to know. It's good to hear it. So I know for a fact that you're a West Ham supporter. Jack.
Yep.
But you live in Norwich, don't you? What's the story there? How has this happened?
I'm a plastic, you know, mate. Bloody plastic.
A really weird plastic.
Yeah. My dad's a West Ham fan because he's from I should know. I think he's from a place called Bow, which might be
Bow. Yes.
Yeah.
I lived there for a long time.
Right. There you go. Small world. So he's from sort of nearer that way than I am. And as soon as I was born, he put me in a little West Ham beanie hat, and the rest is history. I don't really have a choice from that moment on. Got a bit of a weird relationship with West Ham fans, though. They don't seem to... I get a lot of stick off a few of them online, which is a bit weird.
Why is that?
Don't know. A lot of them say, call me a plastic, but I can't help where I live. It's just a bit weird. I think it's because I posted a tweet once when loads of West Ham fans were kind of mocking Tottenham for leaving, for exiting the Champions League. And I was kind of like, I don't get why we do that, because we've never even got there. It's like kind of like mugging your mate off for getting dumped by Mila Kunis. It's like, we didn't even get close. So yeah, they didn't seem to like that. But no, whether I love it or not, I'm a West Ham fan till I die, Jim.
Yeah, that's how it goes, isn't it? I mean, I've had run-ins with West Ham fans as well, because where I'm from, I should technically support them, really, I guess, in that they're the closest team. But I'm not from a football-y family, so I got to choose my own London team was the way it seemed to work at our school. But I also used to work in the off-licence at the end of the district line. So on match days, when West Ham had won or drawn or lost, it was an absolute nightmare when they would pour out of the tube, and just it was feral, utterly feral.
Strange bunch, us West Ham lot. What made you choose Arsenal?
It was Ian Wright, actually, was the particular catalyst. But yeah, I just sort of fell in love with them, as you do. So did you have that experience of falling in love with your team, or were you sort of like indoctrinated into it?
Yeah, I've supported them for as long as my memory serves me, but I do have a lovely memory of, I think it was on my 12th birthday, my dad got me tickets to go and see West Ham play Bolton in the fifth round of the FA Cup, I believe. It was a replay, and when those tickets fell out of my birthday cards, tears fell out of my eyes at the same time. Like, it was unlike anything like that feeling. And well, I think you've probably had a load of guests say a similar thing, but that moment when you first go to your ground and you first see your team live, it's just you can't explain it, you can't put it down into words. So yeah, and Bolton were a bit of a bogey team back then as well, and we beat them 2-1 in extra time. Flares went off, it was absolute scenes. So yeah, I think that was probably the moment, mate, that I fell in love with them properly.
That is lovely. So we're going to move on to your team quickly, but I want to ask you about something first. You're the second guest ever to choose not to go with a goalkeeper. Is that a tactical decision because you're putting yourself in goal, or are you just comfortable that you can rotate?
I have my eyes on a goalkeeper. I won't give any spoilers away just yet, but I'm very familiar with the show. I'm a fan of the show, and I know I'm allowed one non-footballer, and that person will be my goalkeeper.
Nice. Okay.
So we will get to that.
All right. Well, then let's just kick it off before we get to your non-footballing guest. Well, I suppose you can start with him if you want. Yeah, I mean, who do you want to pick first?
I think let's go for my favourite ever player, Jim, of all time. Let's go for Paolo Di Canio.
Paolo Di Canio. I mean, yeah. I mean, he is one of those. I mean, obviously, there's a very unsavory side to his character that you can't really ignore. But you have to mention it to get mentioning it out of the way, so you can talk about all the fun stuff,
yeah.
Really. So
yeah.
But yeah, he was one of those, one of the real kind of just firecracker players of the sort of Premier League era, wasn't he? But I'm worried about you as player manager, though. How are you going to keep him in check?
I don't mind if he keeps me in check. To be fair, I'll take a back seat, right?
Do you know that when he was a child, he was actually quite overweight, apparently, and his nickname when he was a kid was Paloca, which roughly translates as lard ball. And he also wore orthopedic shoes as well, and like, he had to really like fight his way not just to football but to be fit enough to become a footballer in the first place. And I wonder if that's why he's like he is, you know. He's had to sort of bring this intensity to everything.
Yeah, maybe that's where he got his passion from, for all the kind of like sometimes like kids and that don't have the easiest start in life, that they find a bit of a fire in their belly from somewhere, don't they? And you often hear stories of like from zero to hero, for lack of a better term. But yeah, no, I didn't know that. What was his nickname again?
Palocca. And I'm not sure if that's the right pronunciation, but it is lard ball is the translation.
It sounds a lot cooler, doesn't it, than it is? Like Palocca.
It really does, yeah. I wouldn't call him that.
Him. I mean, not to his face.
No, I can't imagine. As a kid, he must have been terrifying even then. But he must have. You love those players when they play for your team, though, don't you? Like they're just the best thing that's ever happened to your club when you've got one of those absolute lunatics on your side.
Yep, 100%. He's one of the first real kind of legends that I remember, because I've obviously grown up and my dad's told me stories of Bobby Moore and Tony Cotty and people like this, but I don't really know. Like, even people like Julian Dix were a little bit before my time, but Di Canio, that was when I was really, really starting to learn and fall in love with football. And I've got one of the memories of Di Canio that I hold fondly is when he scored against United to knock Manchester out of the FA Cup, put it past Barthez. It's just, oh God, so, so good. Do you remember Micro Stars?
Were they the football statues with little heads?
Yes.
Or big heads?
Yeah. Well, one of the first Christmas presents I ever got my dad. And you know when you're young, so you're like, your mum will pay for it, but you'll say it's from you anyway or whatever.
Yeah.
I got my dad a Micro Star and it came in this packet so you couldn't see which one it was. And there was about 400 different players you could get. And he opened it up on Christmas Day and it was Di Canio. And I just remember absolutely going mental running around the house. So that's beautiful memories with old Paolo.
That is brilliant. As well, also, I mean, you can't really talk about Paolo Di Canio without talking about the time that he pushed over Paul Alcock when he played for Sheffield Wednesday. That was, I don't know if you would have remembered that at the time. Do you remember that happening?
I don't remember it happening, but I'm very aware and I think I've watched it numerous times on YouTube. So
That sort of went viral before going viral was a thing.
Yeah,
like it was like the world stopped. Just like everybody, you'd phone people. You would pick up your house phone and go, have you seen what Di Canio's done? It was absolutely incredible. Just the way the referee falls over as well. He does it in about 15 different stages.
Yeah.
Just a glorious thing to behold.
And another thing from that clip, I don't know if you're aware, but because it was against Arsenal, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Have you seen, who is it? Nigel Winterburn's reaction in that?
I can't say I remember it off the top of my head.
Right. You'll have to search this up on YouTube tonight. Go and find the clip again, because Winterburn is going mental at Di Canio as he's walking off, and Di Canio turns round and like faints, like going to hit him. And I've never seen a man flinch so badly. You just have to check it out just for that. Brilliant.
That's great. But it's very easy to get caught up in this side of Di Canio's character, wasn't it? And not remember what an amazing player he was. There was a time where Alex Ferguson wanted to sign him. This is when he was at West Ham as well. Could you imagine? Imagine that fire at Man United at that time. But he was just such a slick, silky player as well. And he scored that brilliant scissor kick. Like, I'm assuming you're going to deploy him up front in your team.
Yeah. All of his questionable things aside, he actually did do some kind of like morally good things on the pitch as well. Like, do you remember when he caught the ball against Aston Villa because the keeper was injured, but the ref played on and it came to him and he could have just put the ball in the net, but he caught it. But yeah, no, to have him, because this is what I'm doing as well, Jim. I'm kind of, because I play in a five-a-side team at goals in Norwich. So I'm kind of just imagining him there and comparing him to the kind of clientele of players that you get up there. So Di Canio, a bit of a nasty bugger, and every team at goal seems to have one of them. Yeah. So he'd be,
might as well have the ultimate one.
Yeah, he'd be my little hothead up front.
Funnily enough, I do actually picture all of these games taking place at goals in Norwich.
Always Norwich.
Yeah, always Norwich.
Di Canio showing that great agility of his again. He's through on goal. Is he going to score? Yes, he is, surely. Oh, look at that. That was nasty. But he walked through them as if it was a Sunday afternoon stroll. He was stuck on 13 goals since the 7th of last month. That's his 14th of the season.
So who have you gone for after Paolo?
Right, okay. So I'm only allowed two players that are kind of connected with my club, right, with West Ham.
Not just your club, just with any particular club. It's just to stop people stuffing the team with, you know, players from the same team. But you've got another one.
Yeah, I've got another West Ham one. I've gone for Joe Cole.
Nice. So Joe Cole is roughly a year older than I am. And as we know, I grew up around a very West Ham supporting area and lived in Bow in later life as well. I honestly think I've been aware of Joe Cole since he was about 12.
Right, yeah.
Like, the hype around Joe Cole in the area was, I've not known a hype like that about a young player since. But honestly, since he was a child, people had been saying, oh, you got to wait for Joe Cole to come through. He's going to set the world on fire. And he was, you know, he was a fantastic player on his day.
I've got very early memories of Joe Cole in that massively oversized West Ham shirt. I can't remember what shirt it was, but the one with the collar. And he was just, he's so skillful as well. I was thinking of Joe Cole, obviously, in prep for this. Do you remember, I don't know if it was match of the day, it could have been the championship show one year when we got relegated, but there was like a new intro they did, and they had a little clip of Joe Cole doing keepy-ups at a bus stop.
That does ring a bell, yeah.
I think he does like a rainbow flick over his head or something. I think I attempted that numerous times around bus stops in Norwich. But no, he's just, oh God, everything about him, he just looks like the greatest footballer in the world.
Yeah.
He just fits that mould.
There is an idea about Joe Cole that he didn't perhaps live up to his potential because of the injuries that he had, which is, you know, I think possibly reasonable, but that's not to take away from the things that he did achieve, because he actually achieved a lot. And it was so, there was a time where I think he was England's best player he was very consistent for England for a while. And it was so nice to have an England player that could beat a man well and with pace. And it must have been great having that in your West Ham team as well.
Yeah, 100%. He didn't really play like an English player, did he? He had a bit more flair about him than your typical English midfielders. But what about that goal against Sweden?
Oh, man. Oh. I feel like this is the most underrated England goal, like, of all time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, maybe because it was such a rubbish World Cup from England's point of view, but it was brilliant.
Oh, was it a World Cup as well, was it?
It was, 2006, yeah.
Oh, my God. I remember being cooped up in my bedroom, pretty much like I am now, actually. But, yeah, just as a young lad and just seeing that fly in the top corner, it's just, oh, God, so sexy.
And it did that really satisfying thing of going into the corner, but then rolling across the rest of the net. Just like, oh, man, just...
Yeah.
Oh God! I, any excuse to think about that, I'm getting goosebumps even just remembering it.
Same, 100%. I just feel like every kind of, whenever I play football at goals, I like to imagine myself as a bit of a Joe Cole, and I'm nowhere near it. So to have the actual Joe Cole would definitely be a massive plus for my team. Yeah.
Do you think he'd still put his tongue in his cheek when he runs? He always used to do that, didn't he? Jack Wilshere does it as well. It's like I don't know, it's like it powers their football brain or something.
I feel like I do something like that though. I don't know. I just, a lot of people used to say I do a similar thing. I look like I'm gurning when I play football.
More than Phil Jones.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. In my head, I think I'm Joe Cole, but realistically, I'm Phil Jones.
That's a shame. That's a real shame, isn't it? So, yeah, I really think that Joe Cole is exactly the sort of player you want on your five-a-side team. You would want someone where I think they'd surprise the opposition with how good they are. Like, you know when you come up against a player in five-a-side where, like, you can tell they are properly decent. They're not just decent for a group of people having a kick about over goals. They can really properly play. And I think Joe Cole would scream that. Do you remember that story about him falling asleep at a party, someone punching him for leaving West Ham, and then him basically running out of it in his pants?
No.
Yeah, I mean, that is the whole story. But it's a weird one, isn't it? It's a really, really strange one.
Was it the Canio punching him with a fish?
maybe. But it's a strange situation where you think...
What was going on at that party?
Who knows? But you don't expect to hear that story and conclude that the person running away in their pants has actually done nothing wrong. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Joe Cole seems too cool to... Well, to be fair, if he ran away in his pants, I imagine it'd still look cool.
Let's just joke. Can't. Yeah. I'll allow it.
He'd still beat a man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beckham squeezing across here. Crouch is waiting there. So too is Lampard. Good defending by Tobias Linderoth. Joe Cole, why not? Swinging shot, brilliant! Oh, why not? Absolutely fantastic goal from Joe Cole.
So that's your West Ham quota, I'm afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's move on, though, to your next midfielder, if you like. Who have you got?
I've gone for my favourite ever non-West Ham-related player, and that is Paul Scholes.
Paul Scholes. He's a proper players player, Paul Scholes, isn't he? The list of players who say that he's like the best they've come up against or like the best of his generation is... It's crazy. It's absolute... We're talking Pelé and Socrates and Xavi. Like, players like that absolutely love him.
Yeah, there was that graphic that went around, wasn't there, a few years ago on social media of all the quotes from the different players. Now, I watched Paul Scholes a lot. That was definitely my prime kind of when I was in love with football the most. Paul Scholes was kind of like the poster boy for the Premier League back then. And I don't know if I'm being influenced by that one graphic, but I mean, it's a hell of a graphic to be influenced by. If those quotes are accurate, and I haven't done my research, but if they are accurate, then what a roster of people that hold him in such high esteem. It's just incredible.
They are very much accurate. And I think he's got one of the sharpest football brains we've ever seen in England, really, because he wasn't a particularly pacey player, was he? He didn't really dribble that often. But he didn't need to do those things because his awareness and his vision and his ability to just execute something as he thought of it was just unrivaled. It was ridiculous, his skill set.
Yeah, he wasn't he the king of like just the long kind of like sweeping ball over the top and just like the big through balls and stuff like that, which, come to think of it, on a five-a-side pitch, not really what you want, long balls through like that. But then he was also He could absolutely smash a ball as well. So just give it to Scholesy on the halfway line and let him bang him in the top corner.
Yeah, you can put him in goal.
Yeah.
Have him taking goal kicks, he'll probably get you four or five in a game.
Maybe that's what I'll do. Do you remember that story? You'll probably remember it better than I can, but there was something about Cristiano Ronaldo when he was at Man United and about hitting a tree.
Yes.
Does that ring any bells?
It does ring. It's quite a famous story, isn't it? I wonder if it's apocryphal, but there's been a lot of... I think it was... Obviously, everyone was very impressed with Ronaldo in training for whatever reason. And... I think someone rolled the ball to Scholes and he was like, watch this. And he just curled it into a tree that was like, I don't know, the story, it seems to get further away every time, doesn't it? It was, like, it was 3 miles
Six
away.
Miles.
It was on Man City's training ground. Like it was at Anfield, I don't know. But like, that's the story, isn't it? That he could just choose to just smack it into a tree from a long, long way ago because his accuracy was that good. But there are so, if you watch like videos of Scholes' best goals, a lot of the long rangers, they're not ones where it's just it was far out and that's impressive. They move in the air in a crazy way because he can hit a ball that hard. Have you ever played against someone who can hit a ball like that? Because you hear it coming through the air at you. You hear it fizz.
Yeah, and especially if that's one of those old mitre balls, you just wouldn't be able to walk for about a week. It's just playing in December down some like terrible little park in Norwich, getting hit by them. Yeah, 100%. I've been there too many times, Jim. And another thing about what you were saying about Scholes, just not just hitting it. 9 times out of 10, it was like on the volley or like a scissor. Do you know what I mean? It was just like he was just unreal. And as I said, definitely my favourite ever non-West Ham related player. But just a bit boring, isn't he now?
Well, that's quite nice though, isn't it? He's just a normal bloke. You know how Andy Murray's just a really normal bloke and he's really annoyed that anyone should think he should be anything other than a normal bloke. So I'm amazing at tennis/football in both these people's cases. Should that not be enough? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he does it for the love of it. But yeah, I quite like that about him, to be honest. I mean, it probably helped him as well that there were so many other players of that era that were getting the headlines and he could just get on with it.
Yeah, you've compared him to Andy Murray there. I've got a mental image of Paul Scholes having his own kind of like Judy Murray, who's like teaching him how to like smash volleys in from 40 yards. That's the dream world I want to live in. Yeah.
You see that tree? Are you worried about his tackling though? Because it was always sort of dogged him, isn't it? This idea that he was a bad tackler, and maybe it was a myth. Maybe it's too long ago, but I don't know if it was a myth, because he got sent off 4 times, I think, in the Premier League, possibly in other competitions as well. 97 yellows, fifth highest ever.
Yeah, no, he it definitely was not a myth. I saw a montage on Twitter, I think it was a couple of months back, of all his terrible challenges, and there were a few terrible ones in there. But goals, there's a, don't know if you can swear on here, but there's a lot of bastards at goals, isn't there? So you need your Di Canios, you need your Paul Scholes. This is kind of like a theme that I've gone for in my team that will become clear as we move forward. But you need them hard hitters. And I can't throw a punch, Jim. I'm not a violent man. So I need these players to back me up when other players come in.
I thought all YouTubers were also boxers now, mate. Is that not going to
well,
at some point?
I sometimes go down the gym and punch the punch bag, but that's about as far as it goes. I think YouTubers, me included, we're just mouthy. Do you know what I mean? We're all bark, no bite.
That's all right then. You can wind everyone up and set Paolo on them. You'd be all right.
Yeah. Yeah, Paolo or Paul or, yeah.
There's a great quote from Scholes that I think might explain the sort of tackles thing, which is, if someone got me early in the game, it was always in the back of my mind that I needed to get them back. So I said, oh, he probably could tackle, but he just chose to just dish it out quite a lot.
yeah, 100%.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, okay, who have you got next? Let's hear it.
Right, okay, so I've gone for... Paolo's a bit nasty. Scholes is a bit nasty. Cole's got flair. I've gone for another kind of like... Well, no, actually, I wouldn't say he is. This is a man that's going to do all of the boring stuff well. I've gone for Andre Iniesta.
Andre Iniesta is one of my favourite players of all time. I'm delighted that you've brought this to the table. And, I mean, does he just do the boring stuff well? Because he did some pretty exciting stuff as well.
True. I mean, he scored a winning goal in a World Cup final, so...
Yeah. Yeah. Which, to be fair, was so boring, though, wasn't it?
it was so awful. It was a bit of a boring one, yeah, to be fair. He's just the greatest player that I've ever seen live, I think. He looked like, I know this is such a cliche, but he looked like he could play football walking.
Yeah, I think there's actually probably quite a good reason for that, because where he grew up, he didn't grow up in Barcelona. He ended up moving to the academy at La Masia quite young. But it was such a small place, there wasn't a football team. So he grew up playing futsal, which obviously is at a much slower pace with a smaller ball. So perhaps that's why, I mean, that futsal is credited with a lot of the Spanish and also sometimes South American players for having the sort of technique and close control that they have. Iniesta might have benefited from that. But I feel like he's probably one of the players who is most sort of hard done by the Messi Ronaldo duopoly of individual accolades in the time that those players have been active, because he's won so much. He's won everything worth winning.
Yeah,
like 4 Champions Leagues, you know, like obviously won all that stuff with Spain. Like, and I love how he could, I love the way he could just ghost past players. And again, not particularly fast, but he could still beat a man with ease and then beat another one and another one and then just lay it off with precision from miles away.
Mm-hmm. I know, obviously Messi is out of this world. Like, he's superhuman. He's an alien. But how, I'd like to know the stat of how many kind of Messi goals Iniesta contributed to. Do you know? Because I bet it's well up there. It was kind of like, you'll know this better than I do, my football knowledge outside of West Ham isn't too great, but it was like when Van Persie was banging them in for Arsenal, wasn't it? Alex Song had some kind of crazy kind of assist record or something like that, maybe?
He did, actually, yeah. He it was specifically with through balls from midfield. That was a very weirdly fruitful, like a special move almost, like a tag team special move. But yeah, I mean, Iniesta obviously would have laid on a hell of a lot of goals for Messi. But just after he arrived at Barcelona, Pep Guardiola was actually the captain of the team at that time. And he told Xavi, who was on the way up as well, "You're going to retire me. This lad," as in Iniesta, "is going to retire us all." And that is a hell of a chain of succession there, isn't it? And he's funny, isn't he? Because I do think he's one of the best players of all time. But he isn't someone that you associate with goals necessarily. You know, and that's always a sign that someone was something absolutely special, because you're not just looking at pure numbers. You're remembering what they actually did in front of you.
Yeah, he wasn't really kind of like a headline maker, really. That, I think that's why I probably somewhat inaccurately but called him boring, just because he was so good. He just did everything right. There was never anything to really report home to. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Oh, yeah, completely. Oh, Iniesta was brilliant. Again, similar to Scholes, really. They had quite different skill sets, but they were just the player that just... You never saw them play badly.
No.
You never saw them be anything below exceptional, really. And to the point where the standard's so consistent that it almost does get a bit boring, doesn't it? There's nothing to sort of like... to sort of write home about, because it's, oh, yeah, Iniesta was absolutely ridiculously amazing again. So no news, basically.
Yeah, you're just kind of like begging for them to do one poor pass or something just to spice it up a bit. But yeah, you've seen him live, haven't you?
I have, yeah. I saw him play in the Champions League final, actually, in 2009. And I believe he played when I saw them beat Inter at the Nou Camp as well. And yeah, he's a special player. Where was it that you saw him?
I saw him play against, who was it now? Play against Atletico in the quarterfinal of the Champions League. I've only been to the Nou Camp once, and it was that. And he was just unreal. I'm pretty sure he didn't break his sweat. He kind of just floated across, and yeah, it was just unreal. The one game that I've actually been to at that stadium, as I say, Messi didn't really do anything. So Iniesta was the one that kind of really stood out for me. But yeah, I'm not using that game as a benchmark to describe Messi's career, because we all know.
Yeah. Don't rate him. I saw him live, wasn't into it.
I listened to one of your previous shows. I can't, the guy's name escapes me now, but the guy from the Arsenal blog, one of the recent episodes.
Yeah, Andrew Mangan, yes.
Yeah, he picked, because was it him that picked Messi? And
yes.
I was surprised that so few people have picked Messi on the show, but do you think it's because it's just one of those obvious ones?
It's almost like your favourite superhero being Superman, isn't it? I think.
Right,
it's a bit
true.
It's a bit obvious, so maybe people want to... But I appreciate the tactics of picking Messi, because it's Messi and he's going to ruin you. But yeah, I'm surprised and also not surprised at the same time. I feel like with both of those players, actually, watching those great Barcelona teams, you know, because Messi and Iniesta were at the center of so many of them, it was always a really brilliant, exhilarating thing to watch them as a sort of neutral fan. But as a person who supports a team that played against Barcelona and got absolute lessons off them a lot of times, honestly, even including like England penalty shootouts, things like that, it's the most stressful football experiences I have ever had. Like, it's like they've got you in a vice. Like, getting the ball for long enough to build an attack was so, so difficult. And then when you did, it fell to Nicholas Bentner. So it was just like just an exhausting thing to watch. But he was such a big part of that, because he could just keep the ball in seemingly any situation. We talk about him like he's not still playing. He's in Japan at the moment. But yeah, some of his nicknames tell the story, really. He's got, obviously, you know, as seemingly every European great has. He's got many great nicknames, which include the Illusionist, the Brain, the Anti-Galactico, and this is my favourite one, the Pale Knight. That is quality. God,
I love it. I love it. Same. Team of nicknames there. That's what I'm building. Just if you've got a fancy nickname, you're in the side, basically. Oh, no, yeah. I've fallen in love with him a little bit more doing this podcast. So thanks for that, Jim.
No, you're welcome.
I'm going to put an Iniesta poster up on my bedroom wall later, I think.
By Terry. Eto broke from him, but it's Messi. It's Iniesta! Oh, and the Chelsea fans cover their eyes in horror. 2 minutes from time, and it's heartbreak at Stamford Bridge.
Cool. Well, you've got one more outfield player, Jack. So, Spill, who is it?
I don't have a defender in my team yet, so I'm going to go for a defender. Now, before I say my last pick, I want to just give an honourable mention to Thomas Repka, because he was very close getting in my team. As I said, it was going to be a team of bastards, but I'm going to go for Philipp Lahm.
This is a great shout. I love Philipp Lahm. He's one of those really interesting players because he seems to be able to play in a lot of different positions. He was a right-footed player who played at left back. I'm really intrigued by that. He's like, are you aware of Rafa Nadal's big left arm?
When you say,
no, this is a bit of a tangent.
Am I aware that he has one, or is it like more of a thing?
So Rafa Nadal is naturally right-handed, right, but he taught himself to play tennis left-handed because it's generally harder for most opponents to return serves and to play tennis against a left-handed player. And because, for whatever reason, just if you look at any picture of Rafa Nadal, his left arm is massive. We're talking like Winter Soldier massive. Like it's so weird. And I always, whenever I think of Philipp Lahm, I think, why has he not got a massive left leg? Why does that only happen to Rafa Nadal?
That's such a weird comparison to make.
Yeah, quite an odd man, Jack.
Oh, fair enough. Well, I just Philipp Lahm, again, just got beautiful memories of him just dominating World Cups. And am I right in thinking he scored quite a few screamers, didn't he, Lahm?
Yeah, he had a habit. I don't think he scored that many goals. I remember he scored the first goal in the 2006 World Cup against Costa Rica. I remember watching that at my mum and dad's house. I think it would have been back then. And he had a penchant for popping up with like screamers by defender standards, as I remember it. But he played as a left back and a right back and a defensive midfielder, and they seem like very different skill sets to me. Do you know what I mean? I mean, can you imagine Aaron Cresswell like suddenly turning out next to Declan Rice next season for West Ham? It doesn't.
No, I cannot.
Exactly.
I think Lahm had some. I'm trying to Google it now. I think he had some massive calf muscles on him. That might be why you're thinking. No, maybe it isn't Lahm. Just in a picture of him, normal legs. So we'll ignore that. Just trying to work out. I'm still trying to get into your brain of the Nadal comparison. That's what I'm doing there, Jim.
Yeah, if you Google a picture of Rafa Nadal's big left arm, you'll see the thing, and you will also never be able to stop thinking about it. So that's probably why. I think you need to see that rather than Lahm.
I'm going to do it right now.
Let's do it.
And so should all the listeners.
Exactly. Yeah, actually, as you're listening, do it. I promise you, you're not aware of this, it's about to blow your mind.
What?
Yes, see? How have you never noticed that? That's the first thing I thought.
That's
it's
mental.
So big.
That's. I might. Can I choose Nadal to go in goal for me? And just stand on the right side of the goal and just put his arm out and catch it. Oh, God. Yeah, that's pretty incredible. Not sure how we got here from Philipp Lahm, but
no, I'm not either. It's just sort of happened, doesn't it? But
yeah.
So Lahm, obviously, as you say, is a defender and a defensive midfielder, and I suppose a defender on both sides as well, which is ideal. Like, I'm going to go ahead and assume that you're probably going to be hanging back quite a lot when you're on the pitch. So Lahm's not a bad person to have next to you, is he?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think I'm a little bit handy at football, but I can't imagine I'd get in a midfield three with Joe Cole, Paul Scholes and Iniesta. It'd be tight. Joe Cole might get the chop, I'm not sure, but I'll play at the back. Lahm can have the full 50 minutes or whatever, and I'll come on just to sure things up when we're already like 20-0
ahead at the end.
Fair enough. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Lahm. But the thing is, he is known for being very private as well, which is the same with Iniesta, same with Scholes. So I think, like, I like that you've got these very sort of gentle personalities, obviously not necessarily the case on the pitch, and then you've got Paolo in there as well. That's it's going to make the post-match drinks interesting.
That's what you want, though. That's what you want. You get characters up goals. My five-a-side team, I like the idea that you're going to have a bunch of five lads walk onto the pitch and not know what they're going to get. They could get their shin snapped, or they could get a lovely little kiss on the back of the neck. And I like that. Mystery.
Yeah, indeed.
Should be picked up down that left side by Lahm. Chances here, and the Costa Rica goalkeeper is beaten! And Germany!
So we've already alluded to a little bit of mystery by partially spoiling who you've gone for as your non-footballing sub. So let's move on to that. Who is it?
Well, as you said quite rightly at the start, I don't have a goalkeeper. So I've gone for Jason Statham, specifically as the character Monk from the film Mean Machine.
Lovely to get Statham in there. Which is, like, I like the idea of him being fictional, but because Jason Statham sort of plays Jason Statham all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You kind of get both.
Yeah. He's just, I assume you've seen the film?
You know what? I haven't seen the film.
Oh, you haven't seen the film?
No, yeah. So talk me through what it is about Jason Statham as Monk in Mean Machine that has made you fall in love with him so much.
So I will just caveat what I'm about to say by saying that I haven't actually seen this film in years. But from what I can remember, if my memory serves me right, it's about a prison football team. So they're all inmates, they're all convicts. And Jason Statham plays like the most scary mental inmate ever. I think he has to be chained up 24/7. And they only let him out to play in goal. But there's I remember a famous scene of him going up for a corner in very early on in the game, but he just runs all the way up the pitch and just two-foot someone in the side of the face almost. So as we've discussed, I've got a team of half of them are nutters and half of them are very lovely men. He definitely falls in the first category there. And he's if you saw Monk running at you, Jim, it's a bit of homework for you later, mate. Go and check out a clip on YouTube. After you've seen Nigel Winterburn bottle it against De Canio, go and check out Jason Statham as Monk in Mean Machine.
Seems like a fair exchange for Rafa Nadal's massive left arm, to be fair.
Yeah, we're all learning.
It's so big. yeah, I think as well, in five-a-side generally, you know, obviously the rules are different across the country, but a quite consistent one is that goalkeepers can't leave the area. Which, by this, as you've described, Monk is probably a good thing. But you might have to sort of, I don't know, chain him up to
fitness
bands or something, like so he physically can't get out.
We can do that. Have you heard as well a little bit of trivia about Jason Statham? I'm from Norwich, which is next to a little coastal town called Lowestoft, which is it's not a nice place, really, and it hardly. Have you heard of it? Have you heard of Lowestoft?
I know the word Lowestoft, but I don't know much about his reputation. It sounds like a lovely place. That's surprising.
It's okay. It's just got questionable people there. We'll say that, Jim. All right. But Jason Statham's. Let me get this right, because I'm going to be called out on Twitter if I get this wrong. Jason Statham's mum or dad has a market stall there, and apparently Jason Statham sometimes comes back from wherever exotic in the world, whatever exotic place he's been to, and he sometimes does little shifts on the market stall in Lowestoft, which is,
aww,
yeah, insane.
That's nice.
You wouldn't get Monk doing that, I can tell you.
No, you wouldn't.
No.
I mean, I'm surprised you get Jason Statham doing it, to be honest.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah. I really like Jason Statham. Like, I feel like, I mean, I haven't seen a huge amount of the things he's in because I don't necessarily watch the type of movies that he would typically be in, but I feel a sense of pride. Do you know what I mean? You know, some British people, they go and they do well in other parts of the world, and you think, yeah, go on,
yeah,
go on, mate.
Yeah,
I feel like that about Statham. I'm always on his team. Do you know what I mean? I always want him to do well.
Yeah, and he's on my team, but he has to be Monk in Mean Machine specifically. Yeah,
that's fair enough.
I feel like Jason Statham is like what Vinnie Jones aspires to be.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a lot of crossover with those two, isn't there? With Lock, Stock and Snatch. Was he in Lock, Stock? Certainly he was in Snatch, wasn't he, Statham? I do fear for you, I have to say, in the post-match drinks, to come back to that again, because obviously everyone, all of those other players, they like to sort of keep to themselves and go home after a game. I feel like this is Paolo Di Canio and Monk forcing you and Joe Cole out on the town and you're all waking up in a cell.
Yeah, but that sounds somewhat beautiful to me in a weird way, and I'll certainly take it. Sounds like it could be a script of a Jason Statham film.
Absolutely. It's a slice of life.
Yeah.
Certainly.
No, I love it.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Jack. I massively appreciate it. Some great ones. A really good team as well, actually. I think you'd be up there with the sort of best actual teams in this poorly defined league. So yeah, again, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, Jim, for having me on. It's been a pleasure. I'm a fan of the show, so it's nice to actually be on it.
No worries, mate. Thanks everyone for listening to this episode of Fantasy Five Aside. If you want to hear more from Jack, you can find him on his own podcast. Join him and Stevie White as they sit down for intimate interviews with celebrities and internet personalities on the Spotify original Jack Mates Happy Hour podcast. Thanks for listening, you lot, and we'll see you soon.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.